Nursing mothers are providing their babies with nutrients to help ensure their growth. But what about mom's diet? Women who are breastfeeding may wonder about what foods and how much they should be eating while nursing. In studio today to discuss nutrition for breastfeeding mothers are CHOQ Children's clinical dietitians in the neonatal intensive care unit, Sue Freck and Gina O'Toole. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We're excited to be here today because, as we know, women's health is really important. And when a mom is pregnant or a woman is pregnant and now she's going to be nursing her baby, it gives her a wonderful opportunity to examine what she's doing in her own diet to kind of ensure the good things and then to maybe improve on some elements, because now she's feeding her little one and she wants to ensure that she's giving the baby the best start in life.
So some of the questions that we often hear is, do you have to have the perfect diet while breastfeeding, or can a mom alter the nutrients in her breast milk by what she eats? And what's really great is that the perfect diet is not needed to make quality milk. If a mom is in famine or if food is scarce, she's able to provide her baby with good nutrition. In general, recommendations just to eat a healthy, balanced diet are important. So we want to focus on whole grains and fruits and vegetables and healthy fat. And during pregnancy and breastfeeding, these women should really follow food safety guidelines. So you want to make sure that you're preparing food in a clean environment, that you're making sure that you're refrigerating foods at proper times after you've cooked them, so that you're not to acquire foodborne illness. So going back to a little bit about the nutrients in the breast milk, there are a couple exceptions. For the most part, if you are eating good fruits and vegetables, and maybe if you're still taking your prenatal vitamin, just depending on what your doctor is recommending, certain vitamins and minerals are going to kind of hit a ceiling in your breast milk. If you take over them, just like if you ingest too much vitamin C, you're going to excrete it in your body. Same with breast milk. It's only going to hit a certain level. And if you eat more protein, it's not necessarily going to mean that there's going to be more protein in your breast milk. But the fat in your breast milk is actually changeable. So you can't change the amount of fat in your breast milk, but you can change the type of fat that comes through your breast milk. So we know now, and it's been widely kind of talked about, the omega-3 fatty acids and how important they are for us, that they're anti-inflammatory. And we know that they are important for brain and eye development in babies. And we also know that omega-6 fats that are found in corn oil and soybean oil tend to be a little bit more inflammatory. So the more omega-3s that you eat, so canola oil, walnuts, flaxseed and fish, those transfer into the breast milk. And a lot of prenatal vitamins now also have DHA in them, and that's found in fish and also microalgae. And that is the fat that is really important for brain and eye development. So if mom consumes a lot of omega-3 fatty acids, those are going to transfer into her breast milk. So it's pretty amazing that there are some nutrients that maybe, you know, you can't really alter with your diet, but the type of fat that you eat really does.
So Gina, you mentioned fish. Can you give me a little bit more information on some guidelines for fish? Because I know that there is a risk potentially of mercury.
Right. And so we kind of talk about that too when we're avoiding foods. What foods should I avoid? And you hear about the mercury in fish. And it's the same as general guidelines. So you're not going to want to eat more than 12 ounces of fatty fish a week. And the foods that, you know, the fish that you want to stay away from are kind of the bigger fish that are going to eat the smaller ones, and they're going to accumulate mercury. So you want to choose fish like salmon or mackerel or canned light tuna. The things that you want to stay away from are swordfish, shark. The albacore tuna tend to have higher mercury levels in them.
Lots of times moms ask us, well, how many extra calories or what should I do for fluids? And the general answer for us is you want to eat when you're hungry. You want to choose good food choices, not a lot of the empty calories that might have not lots of nutrients. In terms of fluids, you drink so that you're not thirsty. So about 8 to 10 cups of fluids, and considering that milk and juices and some fruits and vegetables also contain fluids, that should do the trick for everyone. On our government website, myplate.gov, is a daily food plan for moms that shows foods and amounts that might be right for mom depending on her stage of lactation. And you can go in there and do a personal kind of update with your age and your height and weight and your physical activity level, and then it's going to give you some guidance as to what you might be using for a proper amount. Generally speaking, you're in the 300 to 500 calorie range of increasing your needs. In typical estimation, breast milk has about 20 calories in an ounce. And when a mom gets a full milk supply going, she could be producing anywhere around 16 to 24 ounces of milk a day. That means her body is generating about 400 and 500 calories a day just to make up that milk. So it's a nice gradual way for mom to lose weight. Now, lots of women want to try to get the pounds off early, but we want moms not to be aggressive on any kind of weight loss plan until they have an established milk supply. That means kind of around the 2-month mark for the baby. And so we would never want them to really go on any kind of crash dieting or restrict their food intake, because they're certainly wanting to keep the quality and the amount of milk up for the baby.
A lot of moms that have tried that crash diet right after the baby's born, it can compromise their milk supply. So if they're really trying to nurse the baby, and if they have to go back to work and establish a good milk supply to kind of have a store before they do, the crash diets and really restricting calorie intake can kind of derail that for them. So again, we kind of talked about the fish and what foods to avoid. So a lot of questions arise. I've heard onions and garlic and cauliflower can make my baby gassy. And in utero, the baby, which is so fascinating, gets tastes and flavors through the mom's amniotic fluid. And they actually drink that amniotic fluid, and it helps to mature their GI tract. But it's also they're establishing their senses, so their sense of taste. And so whatever mom eats during pregnancy, they're getting those flavors then. So there are many, many cultures that expose their babies to maybe spicier flavors or those cruciferous or gassy foods, and their babies are typically fine. So what I recommend is don't avoid any foods. But if you notice that your baby maybe has a reaction when you eat something that maybe makes them gassy or uncomfortable, you could avoid that food, but there aren't necessarily any rights or wrongs. As far as caffeinated beverages go, some moms are completely avoiding caffeine during pregnancy. A small amount is usually allowed, but as a general rule of thumb, the smaller the baby or the younger they are, the more they can be affected by caffeine. So the general recommendation is about 300 to 500 milligrams of caffeine a day. So to kind of give you an idea of what that looks like, a Starbucks brewed coffee, an 8-ounce coffee equals about 300 milligrams of caffeine there. And tea has about 30 to 50 milligrams per 8 ounces. So depending on which you choose, you can kind of have a little bit of an allotment, maybe 1 to 3 caffeinated beverages per day.
So Gina, when moms are pregnant, most women are giving up alcohol beverages, but now they're nursing their baby. What do they do if they're going to a special event or they just want to come home and relax? What about the idea that dark beer makes more milk supply?
So good question. There's a couple of different recommendations through government resources, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and then also the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine. And they're not exactly all the same, but generally it is okay to drink alcohol while you are breastfeeding. And what they say is in moderate amounts. And moderate means one drink equals a 5-ounce glass of wine, a 12-ounce beer, and a 1.5-ounce hard liquor, like a gin or a vodka, something like that. So what that means is kind of one drink a day is moderation, and it is going to enter your bloodstream in the same capacity it will enter your milk. So for example, what they say with drinking and driving is one drink, they recommend waiting about 2 to 4 hours, and it's the same thing with breastfeeding. So either you can pump and then have a glass, or you need to pump and store it and not give it to your baby for about 2 to 4 hours after you drink the alcohol. And that allows it to clear out of your blood and out of your milk. And you just want to make sure if you do drink and pump that you label the bottle that it has alcohol in there. And again, you know, you want to wait till your baby has kind of a routine breastfeeding pattern, maybe a little bit later in age. But again, it's moderation in making sure that you're not drinking and allowing the correct allotment of time before you breastfeed. And as far as dark beer goes, again, the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine has kind of reported that the barley component in beer can maybe increase the prolactin secretion. And prolactin is the hormone that allows milk volume to go up. And so there aren't necessarily any studies or hard evidence to prove a causal effect, but the mechanism is potentially there.
The Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine is a really good resource also, and we reference it quite a bit. When moms are experiencing lower milk supply or they try to use what we call galactagogues in their diet, and these are either herbs or potentially medicines or some foods by folklore that are supposed to be able to either enhance or increase milk supply. The only problem is that some of these items are not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, and it's more, like I said, folklore as far as their causal relationship or increasing the milk supply rather than any kind of evidence base. So at this point, we really don't encourage a particular item such as like fenugreek or milk thistle. There's in the health food stores, you can say mother's milk tea. Moms, as long as they can be very, very cautious in their use, maybe discuss it with their doctor and be mindful if they don't see any change, then to stop that just because these items are not regulated. Gina and I have a couple websites that we wanted to share with everybody if they needed more information. And our go-tos are typically the La Leche League, also kellymom.com, the Academy of Pediatrics, which is aap.org, and then we had mentioned before myplate.gov.
Just want to really encourage moms to keep it up. Breastfeeding your babies is such a special thing, and it provides such excellent nutrition for the babies. So again, don't stress too much. Enjoy it and eat to hunger, drink to thirst, and just try and take the correct precautions that you can just to be as safe as possible.
Excellent. Again, that was Sue Freck and Gina O'Toole, two of our neonatal intensive care clinical dietitians here at Chalk Children's. Thank you both so much for coming in.